Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here again this week and looking forward to our show today. It's really going to be exciting. So for all of you out there, I guess you're getting great weather this time of year. And today, instead of splitting the show up, we're going to totally focus on buying a home in Hawaii and home loans. And I'm really privileged to have our guest on, Leonard Loventhal, to discuss financing. Leonard Loventhal is with Honolulu Home Loans in Hawaii, and he's going to share years of insights and brings us up to date on affordable loans in Hawaii. You know, in Hawaii, real estate's really expensive, but with low rates and expert knowledge, you can buy a property in Hawaii. This will be a great show. If you'd like to call in and ask questions, 347-945-5428, 347-945-5428. And for those of you who are listening that aren't listening, you know, agents, brokers, buyers, sellers that aren't in Hawaii, the topics we're going to go over today will also cover the U.S. So it's many states in the U.S. There's going to be some variation, but not a lot. So it's quite a lot to learn, and it'll be interesting. And before I bring Leonard in on our show right now, and I want to discuss a little bit about Honolulu Home Loans. They're the largest locally owned mortgage banker in Hawaii, helping thousands of families obtain their dream home or refinance their current property. Their vision is to consistently bring a positive, progressive lending experience and wide variety of products at a competitive price to all walks of life. They have over 1,000 years combined in the real estate finance and mortgage banking industries. They're also one of the most experienced in Hawaii. One of the beautiful things that they do, Honolulu Home Loans does, and Leonard's a part of, is they have the power of a national provider, but the flexibility of a local business. They're headquartered in downtown Honolulu, and their loan officers work remotely also to provide loans on all the islands. They also are fluent in international languages, including Korean, Mandarin, Cantonese, Elgato, Ilongo, and Tagalog. With Hawaii, it's such a unique melting pot. You know, in the United States, we have our melting pot, but in Hawaii, we have people come in from all over the world. And it truly is a beautiful place. To middle-class America, Hawaii seems very expensive. You know, people coming in from China in many areas may find that it's not expensive, depending on where you are in the world. So lots of things are relative. California real estate is also, in different parts, pretty expensive and overall compared to many of the other states. Although we have, you know, in every area you have expensive and not expensive, but overall Hawaii tends to be expensive. And Leonard's going to talk today also about how Hawaii is more affordable right now with the interest rates and different types of loans, how you can structure things to still buy in Hawaii and not pay an exorbitant mortgage. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Leonard Loventhal. Hey, Leonard, how are you? I wonder if, are you there? Oh, Leonard, are you on? I wonder if the phone line clicked off. Let's see. We'll be right back. We may have a connection issue here. We'll be right back. We are back. And Leonard, without further ado, I'm welcoming Leonard. Can you hear us now?
Hi, Natalie. I'm here.
Okay, perfect. We must have had a technical issue. The wonderful thing about doing the radio shows virtually is usually, but yeah, because we could see you in the studio, but couldn't hear you.
Mm-hmm.
So fantastic. Wow. We took a quick break and brought us back. Good deal.
Okay.
And
great.
Yeah, so this is Leonard Leventhal. Welcome.
Hi.
Privileged to have you on today.
Thank you very much.
And you are on Oahu, right?
Yes, serving the island of Oahu as well as the neighbor islands. So all the islands in the state of Hawaii, we can help clients with their home buying needs.
And you are with a wonderful company. What I wanted to tell us a little bit about yourself, because I know you've been in the industry well over 25 years.
Basically, I was privileged to start my lending career with a strong core group at a company called Honolulu Mortgage, and that was way back in the mid-90s, actually early 90s. And then we, as a group, we've transitioned now into four distinct companies, the current one being Honolulu Home Loans. We've always had the same management philosophy, the same philosophy about helping clients, helping realtors, just doing what is best for the clients and the realtors. And again, same core group. So that philosophy has never changed in all the companies I've been with, including Honolulu Home Loan. So it's been a long journey, ups and downs with the industry, as you know, but all good. And like you mentioned in the introduction, we have ways to help clients, even in a market that's considered a little bit on the higher price side of the spectrum.
Your background, though, and you were in management before, right? Tell us what made you.
I was,
how you got into it. How'd you get into the mortgage business?
Basically, I got into it through just out of curiosity, and actually, I was thinking of buying a place and couldn't figure out head to tail from what's going on in this industry. It's not easy to understand from the outside, so that kind of led me into the industry, and I felt I was looking for a career, and it was something that could be done. It can be done. It helps people. It helps people in need. It's challenging. It's never the same. So I started off as a loan processor in the back office, in the operations side. I did processing. I did closing. I did a little bit of underwriting. Then I transitioned into sales. And that's where I felt the most comfortable. And in sales, I went from loan officer to loan manager to sales manager. And I did the whole spectrum of sales jobs, and now I'm back to being a loan officer in a very progressive company, and I'm enjoying that as well, back in the front lines, having been to the sales managing position, which is obviously taking care of everybody's needs and issues, and you know, looking at solutions for everybody's loans that come through when needed. So I've done, again, basically the whole spectrum, and I've been top to bottom in the industry, and enjoying going back to just the front lines and helping clients and working with realtors.
So you really like dealing on a hands-on. You really like getting in and dealing with the individual customers.
It's kind of what I missed, and I have had no problem transitioning back to the front line, which is not too common in our industry. Most of the managers that become managers kind of stay in the position, and they're doing well. They stay there, and I just felt I needed more time with my family. It's very distracting to be a manager, as you know. So now it's good. I'm able to help clients control my time and spend time with family and family and friends, and I want to get a little more balance in my life as I get a little older.
You know, we have a lot of that in Hawaii, right? People really learn the balance, I think, in Hawaii.
It's a good place, I think, more so than other major cities. I think we've got the ability to balance here because of our climate, our activities that we can partake in, and just the knowledge that, you know, life isn't all just work. And so it's a good place to achieve that balance because of the climate and the opportunities. But again, as most people know, Hawaii is a higher cost state. Everything's a little pricey in Hawaii because of our location, our geographic location in the map of everything. So we've still got to work. We've got to work hard, and we've got to do smart things and do financially smart things to make sure we can achieve some of the goals that a lot of us have.
It's wonderful. And you've worn every hat in the industry, so with this business, so
yes.
You get to see it from all.
Got to see all perspectives and got to see all markets now. So I feel that at least now I can give back and I can speak to a lot of different issues in the industry, what we've had, what we currently have, and what home buyers are basically looking for. And in the Hawaii market, I can definitely point people in the right direction because of the length of time that I've been watching the market and immersed in the market. I've never done anything else except mortgage loans since 1992, per se. So pretty much. But
You've seen a lot. We in the early 90s, I think the interest rates were running around 9.5%, 10.5%, and then they started coming down later.
When I came in, they were double digit. They were just starting to come down. I think that was the Ronald Reagan era of government, and rates were, I think, higher before I came into the industry, and then, like you said, they started coming down into single digits right when I got heavily into the industry. So I remember those days. And I think my first mortgage was 7.5% or 8% way back when.
Wow. And mine was 9.5% because that's what they were then. 9.5% was average. We were so thrilled. And now everybody's spoiled at 3% and 4% and complaining if it inches up a little bit. It's just such Yeah, but in Hawaii, that makes it easier to be able to afford that much more. So it's how does that so if they can afford 3 or 4%, that would be double the house if it, at the other rates, right? You could be pretty
correct
much.
It's a lot of buying power, and it really helps the Hawaii market because of our price points. And that's something that the rates are pretty much throughout the U.S. the same. They're on average, they're right now they're 4% on average. In every market, they're the same, but the housing costs are so much different throughout the land, as we all know. So, yes, to have the rates at this level in Hawaii is crucial for those, especially that want to get into the market. They need all the help they can get because of our price points. Our average median prices are higher than most cities. So, yes, the rates are something we need help with the most in Hawaii. It's a good time right now, and I would say in Hawaii, it's extremely important if you have financial goals is to own a property. That's one way in Hawaii one big way to move ahead financially is to own real estate. And that's commonly understood by a lot of financial experts and individuals. So rates do help that cause.
And the market's gone up and up and up. It's really for quite a while.
The market has only gone up since 1992, since I've been in the market. It doesn't go up constantly, but over time, it has only gone up. It has never trended down. You know, it has never been a constant downward trend. Never. It's higher today than it was, you know, over the years, and that's just something that will continue to be, I think, in our market, from my vantage point. And we don't have a lot
confident.
Of land here.
No, that's unless we have some more volcanoes.
From what I've seen.
Right?
Unless we have some more land, Oahu is it's limited. There's a lot of conservation land. There's not a whole lot of construction. There's a lot of traffic. So there's a lot of pushback against a lot of construction. So we do have a high demand. So prices will constantly rise. They may dip for a little while if there's a little bit of a sell-off, but otherwise the demand is always going to be there. So, you know, that's just our market. And I
I love it. Leonard, let's hear you. Can you give us your contact information?
So if anybody has a question or needs to ask a question, the best way to reach me simply is my direct line, which is 808-781-7817, 808-781-7817. It's a very simple number. I got the number back in the day when we could actually choose our numbers from the cell phone days way back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. So you can call or you can text. And from there, I can do email. I can do whatever it takes online to facilitate questions and answers. Whatever a person has to ask, we can address it. Very simple. That's the best way to reach me.
And also, is it HONHL.com, Honolulu Home Loans, but you want to ask for Leonard, HONHL.com.
HONHL.com. And there's a lot of information there, including all our contacts, all our contact information, a lot of good information about the market, how to reach us. It's all there.
Yeah. All the local information is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And you can always go to reallyuniversal.com, fill out Contact Us, and we'll put you in touch with Leonard as well. And you're listening to Realty Universal Radio. This is Natalie Mullinix, and our guest is Leonard Loventhal with Honolulu Home Loans.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pleasure because it's just so it's exciting to see so many people in the mortgage industry. It's a pleasure to hear that you've been in for 25 years, because many people completely got out of the industry after around 2008, 2009. So to make it through the long haul has been really good.
Mm-hmm.
And so with your company, too, also, if people are coming in from out of the country, you've got people fluent in many languages.
Correct. It's quite a diverse group. And we've just added, I believe, a Japanese-speaking officer, which, believe it or not, in the industry, that's not an easy person to find. But we've got all the languages that you mentioned. They all support each other. If we can't speak the language, we'll refer it to that person. We have no problem doing that within our group. We know that whatever it takes to get our clients, in a good frame of understanding what's being presented to them. So, yes, that's in this market is really helpful. Or we bring them, we'll partner on a transaction. We'll bring them in on with us if we need that translation into the mortgage, on the mortgage terms. That can be very helpful. So that's
a great
thing
for
our company.
A really, really good team.
It's always. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I noticed
that's
the Honolulu Home. Yeah, so they're doing over $1 billion in mortgages and services. So basically, you actually can broker out as well, right? Can you explain what that means?
We can do. So basically, as a mortgage banker, primarily work in-house with loans that are tied to Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the two largest providers of mortgage money nationally. We do FHA and VA and USDA all in-house. Those are all agency loans that are run through automated systems and automated underwriting. We can handle all those loans. We price them, we underwrite them, we fund them, we close the loans, we do everything in-house. We even service a lot of the loans that we create. We can also go outside as a banker. We can also and be a third-party agent for clients that need creative financing, such as portfolio lending, land loans, construction loans, anything that's not quite the standard national conforming type of loan. We can utilize the local banks and lenders to help with those needs. So yes, we can do both hats, although I would say a majority of our business is in-house and is conforming, but we do both.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So for today, we're going to talk about pretty much if somebody's buying me a million-dollar property and under, it's average loan, around $900,000, something, and under, anywhere from...
I would say, the sweet spot, the average, I think our average loan right now, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, our average loan is probably between $400,000 and $500,000. It's that high, whereas the national average is obviously probably between $250,000 to $300,000. On Hawaii's average, it's higher. Our average is pretty high and probably goes up to – our sweet spot probably takes us up to about $700,000, and that's what we do a lot of. And then anything above that, we may either broker the loan or we may max out on the Fannie Mae loan, which is $721,000, And we may add on a second mortgage or some kind of creative financing tool to get them the financing that they need to purchase up to, say, $1 million, which is sort of the first, I would say that's the major cutoff. Over $1 million, then you're into a lot more portfolio, private banking, individually created type of loan when you're over $1 million. But there's not as many of those loans, obviously. A lot of cash buyers at that level. So our sweet spot, I would say, is 650 to 720. That's a good sweet spot for us.
So with your vast amount of experience, and then also because you can broker loans, somebody can come to you and just say, this is my situation, or even if they want to buy a $150,000, you know, property, which is hard, you know, condos, it's limited all the way up to, say, $1 million. This is what I'm really looking to do. Leonard, this is my situation. What do you advise? Or and you can basically advise them, which is really good because there's a lot of lenders that are, it's just cut and dry these days. You have to have the certain score for everything, and you have to, which you still need scoring, but I mean, they're not going to be as creative.
Different lenders will bring different levels of creativity to the table. They'll also bring different levels of service, and at times you need both. You need high levels of service, high levels of expertise with high levels of creativity. And those are probably the biggest challenges for a person if they're in that category. And that's when they really need someone or some group that can touch all those bases.
That's fantastic. So you got in, being in the 92, you were in, I've been in the business for 30 years, you were in before they started this credit scoring, right? You were in when actually the underwriters would take a file.
You know,
different.
I cannot remember that far back. All I remember was that our credit report took about a week when we recorded that report. And you're right, there may not have been that time. We just had credit reporting. We had come through the system. We put it in the file, and the underwriter did everything manually. The underwriter checked everything, reviewed everything, and did the approval based on written guidelines, written debt-to-income ratios, and I believe you're right. That's a good question. I'm not sure when the credit scores came in, but then somewhere along the way,
somewhere in the mid-90s. But I do remember. Yeah, I loved it. I actually loved it because people could have really good, solid reasons that they had issues, and things were taken into consideration. So if it made sense, they could still get a loan, you know. I had a gentleman years back in Maryland, I think it was the late 80s. He was literally jumped and stabbed, robbed and stabbed, and ended up in the hospital for quite a long time. Thank God he lived. And so he had enormous hospital bills, and he ended up having to file bankruptcy. But it wasn't where I think nowadays they would say bankruptcy and short sales, and you have to wait 2 years, 3 years. Please correct me if I'm wrong. I know there's some FHA loans that you can get in a year if there was certain types of hardship and showing that the payments were paid a certain way. But this was back in the day where, you know, and he was able to get this loan because his situation made sense. It wasn't that he stopped paying his bills. He literally couldn't. You know, he was in a horrible situation. So that's what I liked about the old days. Now, fast forward to the scoring and the credit issues, I think what I'm hearing with you and with Honolulu Home Loans is you're able to still take different situations into consideration and say, okay, do we need a second here? Do we have to do this? How can we structure it? Will the lender allow, so that sounds really good.
So everything does start now in this day and age. Everything does start with a score, and you go from there. So you do need a score, and then based on what that score is, you can then take the next step. You know, are you ready to go? What programs are available? But definitely the score is going to be crucial, and everybody at some point needs to know their score, and if they're going to buy a home, they need to know their mortgage score. That could be different from their consumer score or their student loan score or their Macy's credit card score. So the mortgage score can be different, and that's where you start. That's our starting point at this day and age.
So what's the lowest score that someone can get a loan?
I would say right now in our industry, the lowest score is 620.
Not 580?
Anything below... You know, I think from my viewpoint, if you're below 620, you're going to really be hard-pressed to find something. Now, you could find something between 580 and 620. It's just not readily available. You're going to have to really, you know, go to the farther lengths, farther edges of the mortgage industry to find those types of sources. And you're definitely going to pay a high premium for that type of a starting point.
So what happens if you have a married couple and one has a score of, say, 630 and another one has 580, which can you put both people on the loan?
If you don't need the 580 person's income and you can survive with the other spouse and you can qualify, then you would take the person off. If you need both incomes to make the loan work, then you have to deal with the lower score. It's always going to be the lower of the two. And that can present a problem at times. So, yes, if you need both income, you need both scores. And then the lenders will always take the lower of the two. That's non-negotiable. It's two scores, you take the lower. Non-negotiable forever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the home buyer
wants to get, that sounds right. Yeah, it makes sense. So then 620 is a good average. If they're in the 700s, 800s, they're going to get a much better loan?
They're going to get whatever loan they want, and they're going to get best pricing. So FICO scores or credit scores affect their ability to get a loan. And then secondly, and just as importantly, it affects your cost of the loan. Your fees will be tied to your score. So you could be happy to get a loan, but now if you're 620 versus 720, you're going to pay a premium, and that could be thousands of dollars, literally.
Mm-hmm. But the rates are so low right now, right? And if it's the only way they can get in,
yes.
Is it worth
it's
it
only
for
way to
them?
Get in.
I mean, yeah. Well, I'm wondering if it's. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to cut you off because I'm.
No.
I'm wondering if it's worth it for them to. Okay, one thing is they need to contact you and say, hey, where do I go from here? Because somebody doesn't have to have a house under contract to contact you and for you to start working with them, right?
Absolutely correct. You don't need a house. Yeah.
Okay.
You don't need
so
a. You don't need to be in contact. Mm-hmm.
So the best thing is, though, I think for them to contact you and get started, and then would you be advising them as to, because there's a tiffy, you know, okay, your score is 580, we need to get your score up, why don't you pull the reports, they'll do X, Y, and Z, get your score up, and then buy the house, or because the pricing may keep going up, is it worth it maybe them taking the paying the extra fees, and then, you know, refinancing later? I mean, what's your opinion on that? Because I do think it's good for somebody to take action, stop waiting if they have bad credit or not the perfect credit or many, and say, okay, we're never going to buy.
Right. So say you had a starter condo for, say, $300,000 and you want to buy it and your credit score was less than perfect. So you had to pay a premium of, say, let's be conservative. Say you had to pay a premium of 3%, which is $9,000. And you decide, okay, I'm going to wait. And you wait till your scores are better in a year or two, and then the condo that was 300 is now 325,000.
Right.
Do the math, right? You would have been better off just buying it at 300,000, paying the premium on the financing, and there you go. Then you're having a tax write-off, you have a roof over your head, you have stability, and you don't have that upward movement of pricing that could definitely affect you 2 or 3 years down the road when you consider yourself more ready, better ready to get better pricing. So that should always be measured. But a lot of people don't measure it. They just make the assumption that they're not ready and they go on renting or they go on living in not great conditions and never measure it. And it's a shame because to measure your position in the mortgage market, absolutely free. It'll never cost you money in any company that is reputable to measure your situation, to analyze your situation at any given time. It's just something that there's not too many things in life are free. This is free. And with the right loan officer, we're unlike other professions. There's attorneys who give great advice, but they're always going to be usually charging you, right, for that advice. And that's that industry. The mortgage industry, we do not charge for help or advice. We only charge you when you close your loan.
So you get just the credit report. You have to pay for the credit report, right?
And not even, you can, not even, Not even that. Yeah, not even the credit report.
Really?
Lenders, we provide it as a service and as a just a service give back to the client who wants to, you know, inquire with our company. We will run the credit report. That's a courtesy. We'll also run the automated underwriting for the client, and that actually costs money too. And a lot of people don't realize that to run your loan, your information through an automated system with Fannie Mae, there is a cost. And as far as I know, all reputable lenders will not pass that cost on to the client unless the loan closes, and it's a nominal cost. But just to find out where you stand, a lender will not take a deposit, and we do not take an upfront fee just to analyze your position, where you stand. And I don't understand why everybody should take advantage of it, even if you're remotely thinking of buying something, especially if you're renting, paying rent to somebody else's, you're paying
right.
somebody else's mortgage. Okay? So it behooves anybody just to go find out. Spend an hour of your time. It can be done virtually. Like we do a lot of things virtually. It can be done virtually
right.
through an introduction.
So they can call you. Give us your number
mm-hmm.
again.
Mm-hmm. So it's 808-781-7817. And you can call or text. Start with that process. You know, you can, as long as you're comfortable, and we're very easy to research and to find on the internet. And we also, of course, meet in person if we're in the same proximity. That's never, you know, old school, new school, doesn't matter. You can get the job done.
I love what you're doing because you're really giving back. You're actually so well versed and knowledgeable that you can look at it almost as an underwriter, loan officer, manager, you know, the
mm-hmm.
whole, all of it from the
yeah.
processor, seeing every aspect of what
yeah.
goes on, and then be able to
yeah.
look at the client's picture and say, hey, this is what I recommend, or this is what you can do. So, and
right.
giving back in Hawaii, I see constantly
mm-hmm.
Honolulu Home Loans. You all are sponsoring many things. I was just
right.
at a FEOPSI convention,
right.
and I guess
yeah.
HIREC was there. So
mm-hmm.
you do, that's
right.
really wonderful. You just constantly believe in giving back, right?
Right. And we know that most of the business that we generate is tied to real estate, and it's tied to realtors like yourself who have clients that need the feedback and need the lending ability. And that's who we put most of our support to. We do some consumer awareness, but for the most part, we go directly to the real estate community, and we're in front of that group just to be there and to support their activity. So kind of a win-win, and we've been doing it as a group. We've been doing it for many years, and it's really been a good, a very good win-win situation for the realtors and for myself and the officers that I've always worked with. And our company.
It just
won.
I remember the Hawaii Business magazine. You sponsored that for many years
mm-hmm.
too. And
it's
so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you definitely
yeah.
are giving more than you get. You know, it's just a
yes.
wonderful philosophy mm-hmm. that your company has. It's
mm-hmm.
So this mm-hmm. is going to this is fantastic. What I want to dig in on the second half a little bit about specific loans, so
mm-hmm.
our listeners can hear. They want to buy in Hawaii, and let's start off with veterans. There's a lot. We have a lot of vets.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of people in the military in Hawaii
mm-hmm.
serving all four branches.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually affordable. And I found as a broker agent that even with the pricing in Hawaii, if military people want to buy and they know, hey, they're going to move in 3 years, is it worth it for me to buy because I may just buy and sell in 3 years? Even
mm-hmm.
if they find themselves in a situation, which typically the market's been going up, we can never say if it will always go up, but if they find
mm-hmm.
themselves in a situation where they say, you know, I either want to keep this long-term for when I retire or you know, the market's such I don't want to sell it right now, they're able to rent it. The rental values are pretty high. The rental values are pretty high on the islands. So
mm-hmm.
VA seems like a really good way to go. So tell us a little bit about how that works for our listeners.
So basically in our market and nationwide, anybody who's served or is serving and has the eligibility in good standing can apply for a VA loan, and that is basically a loan that is guaranteed by the Veterans Administration, U.S. government. So majority of lenders, if not all lenders, will pick up on the program. They will administer the program and take in buyers who qualify.
And the high points of the program are, of course, there is a zero down requirement, which is very helpful for a lot of veterans and a lot of individuals who don't have a down payment, especially in the Hawaii market. No down payment, attractive rates, flexible underwriting guidelines, more forgiveness on the credit scoring. Basically, you know, those are the positive positive points to applying. You can do it with, again, no money out of pocket. So there are a lot of guidelines that are very unique to the VA program, and it serves a lot of our veterans well, especially in our Hawaii market. We do a lot of VA loans. From my understanding,
Mm-hmm. Is there a minimum credit score?
I believe the minimum is still 620. And like I said, every lender can be a little different. So I believe in our case, I believe we go down to 640. We don't go all the way down to 620. I'd have to broker it to another source if a person came to me and wanted to work with me and had a 620. They are forgiving.
Okay.
It's just that not every lender will have the same starting point.
Right.
And that's a fact that needs to be understood by a person shopping. And I think you and I have had conversations before where if you're shopping for something and you feel you have a viable situation and you're turned down, then you definitely want to get a second or even third opinion and speak to people who are knowledgeable of the whole industry to make sure you're not missing out on an opportunity.
Absolutely. And you're so good, though, at being able to guide them to say, hey, this is mm-hmm. what we can do, but this other one may be able to do it. They, you know,
right,
try to work
correct.
It out. And that,
you want to
so
make
on
sure
the VA
you have
loans,
that.
Yeah, for the veterans to know, it's 100% financing. They do have to mm-hmm. ask the sellers to pay closing costs, right? Because,
you know, that's even that has kind of metamorphosized into almost everything now is sort of on the veteran as far as the closing costs. Very little is really put onto the seller. That's kind of a old school thought. So the way I look at it is the only real fee that is put on to the seller is possibly the escrow fee. Now, different
now, we
lenders,
do,
keep
we
in mind.
We do ask them. You have to raise the price, right, and ask the seller to pay closing, but a lot of them may not do it in a
you
seller's
could,
market.
They may not do it. They may or may not do it. And keep in mind that from a veteran's loan point of view, different lenders will do different things with their fees. So every lender has their own internal fees. Those fees are not able to, the veteran cannot pay those fees. So keep in mind, some lenders will pass those fees on to the seller as well. I've seen that.
Now,
That's where all lenders are not created equal. Our company has never put those fees onto the seller. We've
really?
Always absorbed them. And one of the reasons being is that our chairman is a veteran. He served in Vietnam.
Wow.
Our chairman, Ron. So he's been our chairman over all the years, Ron Schmidt, and he has always said, you know what? On these loans, we waive our internal fees.
I love it. I love it.
So that's something that is not always known. So sometimes a lender will put the fees to the seller, and that's not going to help the veteran
either. So for veterans,
either,
for
right?
VAs, for VAs specifically, the
yeah.
lender fees, because they're not allowables under VA, and there's some under
right.
FHA too, but under VA, your
right.
company always absorbs it, because that being in the industry
correct.
As long as I've been in, majority of them
yeah.
don't. We always want to make sure that in the contracts we always write that they,
mm-hmm.
you know, we cap the seller paid fees, the non-allowables.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays
mm-hmm.
we've been asking lenders, you know, will you pay those
mm-hmm.
because it's not always just automatic. So that's wonderful.
Yeah, will they wait?
With
yeah,
you
would ask the lender, can they wait? You'd ask the lender, can you waive the fees, right? Because a lot
right.
of lenders, a lot of lenders do waive the fees. I do not have a survey in front of me as far as which ones do, which ones don't. I just
right.
know that we have never passed it on to the seller.
That's
and
really
that
fantastic.
Needs to be discussed. That needs to be discussed when you start the negotiations with the veteran and the seller and the buyer, obviously, the veteran.
But it's so fantastic because for years most of them were always passed to the sellers, and that's why as an agent broker we always have to cap it or figure it out. That's fantastic.
You have to figure it out. Correct. You have to
you're doing these
mm-hmm.
things that mm-hmm. You don't have to do, and that's commendable. It's wonderful.
Correct. And again,
it ties into our
chairman, who's, like I said, he served, and it starts with him. And we've never gone away. No matter who we've been with, we've never gone away from that philosophy, which is good.
I love it.
It's a good thing. Mm-hmm.
I love it. That's mm-hmm. fantastic. That's
So definitely a viable program. And anybody who is here, if they're not sure how long they're going to be here, they should still get the analysis done to see if it's something they can do and maybe hold on to once they get relocated. They might continue to have that property as a valuable asset in their portfolio of assets. Right, you get a property in Hawaii, if it can be managed and they feel they can do it, then even if you move, you can still rent it out later on.
I love it. And, you know, exactly. And Hawaii, our closing costs in Hawaii actually are lower than a lot of the closing costs in many states. Even though the value is really high, many of the states are, I'll give you an example, Maryland is much higher mm-hmm. than Hawaii on closing costs, your transfer tax and dock stamps, and all, much higher than Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice because you on the closing side, you may need less money. If you're somebody that's coming in from the mainland, you may need less money than you thought for closing. And
correct. Yeah.
Fantastic.
That's,
so one mm-hmm. question I do want to ask you with the veterans is, because things have changed over the years and they're constantly changing with loans, with different guidelines are coming mm-hmm. in. I know we're having the new changes with the HUD isn't going to be a HUD anymore October 3rd, and neither is the good faith estimate.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a lot tighter. Your company, mm-hmm. is it prepared pretty much for these changes for all loans, basically?
I would say right now we are prepared. Our transition date, I believe, is October 3rd, and there'll be a period of time where we have the old forms combined with new loans that have the new form, the new closing statement, and it'll be a little bit confusing because you'll have both, but we're ready. Our system is ready to go, and escrow has been put on alert. All the escrow companies are sort of standing by, and it'll be interesting. It'll be another transition. But yes, we are ready, and as a lender, you have no choice. You better be ready, otherwise you'll be out of business for a while.
I heard the fines are unbelievably too high.
There's fines, and there's high fines, and you just won't be able to generate business, which is a horrible thing for a company. So yes, we are ready.
You're ready.
We've gone through our training. We've seen it. We know what it is. It'll be a lot of interaction between escrow and the loan company in advance of the actual signing.
Now, because we in Hawaii, we record a few days later, it's going to be easier, mm-hmm. I think, than some places where they settle the same day. They sign and settle the same day.
A little easier, but it in my opinion, it adds basically 5 business days to the closing timeline. So whatever you were normally having, it adds basically 5 days of prepping until you can actually sign. On average, 4 to 5 days before you can actually close sign your papers. So there's this advanced work, and that advanced work has to take place for the most part after you've got the loan approved. So it's in between the approval and the closing of signing, you've got this extra step of prepping that they've
so going forward now, buying, and no matter what type of loan, you're going to have to give about an extra 5 days a week to allow
I'd
for the time that you want to get in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
From the time you're approved, because before you could be approved and you could sign within 24 to 48 hours, you could sign papers if the company was ready to move, right? But that is no longer the case because you're going to have this step that needs to take place that sort of puts a little bit of, like breaks on the whole thing. Once you're approved, you have to have this prepping going on, and that's what's new.
So for our listeners, because I'm going to jump back to the VA, I sidestepped it, but I wanted to mention it because I'm looking at our timing, and I'm going, oh, wow, I want to mention that for people to know that, mm-hmm. you know, when you're saying, hey, I want to buy, I want to get in 30 days, 60 days, I'm going to plan my schedule. We're in, and agents and brokers in Hawaii, we're going to need to allow, like Leonard said, about 5 days, right, to a week. It's the mm-hmm. change is called TRID, and mm-hmm. the Consumer Protection Agency, this is part of the whole Consumer Protection Agency to protect buyers from unfair lending practices. I personally don't agree with it 100% the way it's being done, but, you know, who am I to say?
Mm-hmm.
I think mm-hmm. there's a lot of extra paperwork. I think it's hurting a lot of the small lenders, et cetera. But it is, needless to say, mm-hmm. it's in. It was passed to start on August mm-hmm. 1st. They've extended it to October 3rd. So I'm glad to hear you're ahead of the game with it. So you're probably, it sounds mm-hmm. like you'll seamlessly work through it.
That's
great. We have many changes, so it's more reason for somebody to contact you directly to find out where they want to go and how they want to plan.
Yeah,
it's so important.
I think from what I've seen, it's got some definite positives to it. It's got some information that is better presented to the consumer. And then keep in mind that this portion at the end, this form, it's also going to be changing the upfront presentation to the client as well. It's a front and back modification of the estimates. So that part is all tied together. And upfront, it's going to give the consumer, I would think, a better look at what's being given to them or what's being offered to them, from what I've seen. And that's always been a challenge. You show them an estimate and you can't make heads or tails of it. This is a little bit better laid out. So you have that modification to the estimates and then to the closing statement. So I think it's a good presentation.
In the long run.
It's going to be good. You have this at the end. I'm not sure about the putting the brakes on at the end and adding 5 more days to let the consumer know,
right?
Because it doesn't get them out of the transaction. It's not an escape route to get out of the transaction. It's just allowing more time to better present the closing statement to the client, as opposed to them seeing it for the first time at the closing table.
Okay, so they're not much.
I guess, but nothing's going to change between the two times. It just gives them an awareness 3 to 5 days ahead of the actual meeting to sign papers, and maybe that makes the person more comfortable, and maybe it'll flush out a lot of issues that could come up at closing that need to be addressed. Whatever the reason, it's just a longer prep time, and everybody has to deal with that because your loan locks, your moving of people around from house to house, that all gets affected by disclosure that needs to be done after.
Hopefully, it'll
simplify
it eventually. I just being in so long, because usually we get HUDs at the last minute overall, but not on the islands. It's easier, but it'll work itself out, I guess.
This takes this does away with that event, which is good.
Right.
So this,
you have to have it at least 3 days
before. This
will
do away with that 3 days before. So this will do away with the last minute HUD and the last minute surprises, and then you've got to change things around, and you've got to do a little bit of a scramble drill. So, like I said, there is some good to it. Everybody just has to plan accordingly. You can't just approval and then go to get your house. You have to do some prepping and notification and look at the HUD, and then we all meet 2 or 3 days later. And that's I see it as a positive. Just
okay.
You have to be coordinated more. So
if anybody
no
has
last
any
minute
questions
HUD.
Ahead of time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the long run, I guess it'll be good.
It'll just delay your closing a little bit, and everybody has to not be hiring the movers to come in that fast. You have to just space everything out accordingly. You just have to be prepared accordingly. You cannot go boom, 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 and then your keys. It's just it slows you down a bit, and it's for that particular reason. We've all had last-minute HUDs where we're at the signing, and the HUD is still being worked on. We've all had that because of the timing of the whole. And that's not always comfortable for the client because they have no idea what they're about to sign. And they have a guesstimate, but they don't have the exact. So that's the whole change that's coming up for our industry, and it'll affect realtors, escrow, and lenders. And that's a good thing to be aware of for consumers who are entering the market now. It's a good thing.
Well, we are almost running out of time, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've got about 10 minutes left. I love hearing, though, Leonard, how your whole philosophy and how it's all been give back through your whole career, and your company you're with is doing the same thing constantly. And I know firsthand working with you, and the sponsorship is just incredible, because there's a lot of things, and it's so cool to hear that on the VA you don't even charge these, you know, you automatically waive the fees without having to. You know, it means a lot in today's day and age where people care and keep the heart in the business and really are making a difference, and you are doing that, which is really commendable. I wanted just say, I guess we're not going to have the time to go in depth about the other loans because time flew by, but can you let us know just some of the other loans you do? We'll touch on some of the other.
For the most part, I would say anything up to $625,500, which covers
a lot of property in Hawaii. You can do your loans with down payments for everybody, down payments as low as 3% or 3.5% with FHA, 3% with conventional financing, as long as you are qualified and you have a, you need a good score, you need to take care of your credit and be ready. So you can do those loans all day long with us, you know, with a lender, and be in a position to go in with minimal down payment, minimum out of pocket, as well as the bigger down payments with, you know, 20%, which is you avoid private mortgage insurance, which a lot of people are aware of. So you can do small down payments with private mortgage insurance added into the picture, gets you in the house, and the cost of the private mortgage insurance may offset the cost of the house going up in 3 years, as we discussed.
Okay.
If it takes you, okay, takes you 3 years to save up 20% or more, in that 3 years, you could have just paid the PMI, put a smaller down, and come out ahead because, again, home prices normally rise in 3 to 5 years. So anyway, so we do those loans all day long, and then you get into the bigger loans, upwards of $720,000. On those loans, you may have fewer options. You may not be able to get PMI on those larger loans. You need to have a down payment. So those are a lot of times those are for move-up buyers or buyers who have family help for gift funds if you're still younger. And we see that happening as well. Or again, you're selling a property or you made some good investments, you have a down payment, you can go up to $720,000 and still be having a good rate and an automated process, a smooth process.
Fantastic. And then so you also, there's 100% USDA loans you're able to do?
You can do a USDA loan, correct. That's
the FHA.
Geographic.
Okay.
And we do the FHA, which is, so USDA is geographically restricted to considered rural areas. There are income restrictions and geographic restrictions. FHA has no restrictions, but there is a down payment. And that program is also a little bit different than conventional. It has a little bit different financing components. It's a little more, FHA is more forgiving on the credit scores. And on the underwriting, they're a little more forgiving, and they, again, you can do all properties, and they have their own internal private mortgage insurance, so you don't have to have a separate set of guidelines for the PMI for FHA. It's all included.
Fantastic.
So there is some containment there, and it's not for every program, but it can work. It definitely can work in certain situations, and we, again, you want to work with a lender who actually can access conventional, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, VA if you're a veteran, USDA if you want to buy in that area, and if your income restrictions are met, and an FHA loan, which can help you if your credit might not be as solid, and you may need to be a little more forgiving on the underwriting. And that
now,
can
somebody,
help you. So you want to be,
somebody's listening. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead, Natalie.
Mm-hmm. Well, if somebody's listening in and they want to buy a multifamily unit, you know, and they want to buy an investment property, mm-hmm. can they buy still up to 4 units FHA, or do they have to go another route?
You can do. In fact, with any residential lending, it's 1 to 4 units. In the Hawaii market, it is extremely hard to find a 1 to 4, maybe even a 2 or 3 to 4 units that fits the building code. A lot of them are Ohana units, and are, you know how that works. It's very creative. That's mm-hmm. So it's really hard to find a 4 unit, but it can be done, and you can actually live in 1 unit and use the others as income producing units. But again, in Hawaii, that type of property is not readily found. It's just a lot of the multiple unit properties in Hawaii are more Ohana or built, you know, grandfathered in. And those may not qualify.
Right.
So, you know, and if that's the case, you would then gravitate towards a portfolio loan with a local lender,
and you really know it all. So I would suggest they contact you first, and then they can always give your number again.
808-781-7817. And yes, if you're looking at all types of property, I would highly recommend you work with a officer and a realtor like yourself who knows the whole market. And that's key. Otherwise, you start going down the wrong path and you've wasted time and possibly lots of money in chasing down a property that doesn't fit your profile and doesn't fit your lending guide, your lending ability, you know, your borrowing.
I have a question for you. I've got a question for you. The new law that just passed that is allowing on island people to build another dwelling, you know, on their property. Well, it's more like a haunted, but it's for in family. I mean, it's basically not, they're not allowing them to split and CPR or divide the lot. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of this. This law just really is, I think, a game changer. For what is that going to be easy to get an FHA loan on if that fits everything else?
It can be, and then whenever new laws are brought into the market, it usually takes a while for the lenders to catch up, for the national investors to catch up with the law, and there's just usually a delay, and that can be confusing at times. So whenever you're working on a property that has that type of nomenclature, of that type of design, then again, you do your due diligence up front and you say, here's the property, here are the specifics, and you've got to get some feedback in writing from your lender to see if it can be managed and what kind of loan can you get. Can you get a regular loan, a Fannie Mae loan, or are you going to be a portfolio because different guidelines and different costs? So anything like that, which is brand new, more so, you have to do a lot more due diligence. Otherwise, you could end up at a dead end when you're not wanting to.
It's just planning wisely. Do it planning wisely. Get everything up front now and plan for what you want to do, so you can avert the pitfalls. That's
work with knowledgeable experts in the real estate field and in the lending field. That gives you your best shot at having a successful transaction at the best possible results for the homebuyer.
That's what I always try to. We try to do is look at the whole picture and then avert it from the day one, before we're writing the contract. And that you're actually, you're starting off with loan.
You want it, like I said, it from the beginning. It doesn't cost you anything. You set aside some time. You look at it and you let the lender look at it thoroughly for you, and then you start talking to you. Then you take them and find the right property. And if you do it that way, your chances of success are heightened, and because it doesn't cost anything, and I correct me if I'm wrong, most realtors will provide their expertise and their services for not for a fee either, right? So that's our industries are the same. So it behooves you to align yourself as a home buyer or even a move up buyer with a expert realtor and an expert lender with a lot of experience. And you go from there, and you're never obligated, so there is no risk of, you know, you're not being tied up with a contract for the most part. So you do it because it makes good financial sense.
It makes a lot big difference, because then you don't have the fall throughs you hear about, because everything's been averted up front. You know, the work's been done ahead of time.
Correct.
To have a smooth transaction and a wonderful experience that it's supposed to be. This has been a pleasure having you on. I hope you'll come back. Mm-hmm. And
anytime.
I love it, Leonard. Thank you so much. And if you want to say any parting, you want to give your information again, and just
I would just say
generally
because of our industry in general, there is a lot going on behind the curtain than meets the eye. It's basic lending, but because of the investment rules and the tightening of the market, there is so much going on behind the scenes that to just glance over your situation and decide if you're ready or not does not work as well anymore. I definitely highly suggest you work with a lender that is willing to work with you from the first step to the last step. And again, I'm more than happy to help. It's what I do. Best way to reach me, 808-781-7817. The phone is always with me. You can always text after hours. If you're not comfortable calling in late, you just text.
You turn your text off, right? You have the thing off.
in this market, no.
Oh, my sound's off. I can still look at it.
I still will look at it. And I'll, if it's evening and if that's the best time that you need to be doing your research, I will answer you back. And that's not a problem. And the flexibility also helps me when I need to be flexible during the day as well. So it works both ways. It's all good.
Wow, you are amazing. I really, really, it's just so wonderful to have you on, and you just really give back, and
no
it's
problem.
So wonderful. So
no
thank
problem.
You, thank you. I'll talk to you soon, and to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Okay, thanks, Natalie. Have a good day.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.